This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio program is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Associated Press earlier this week released an explosive report which found that before signing up with Donald Trump, former campaign manager Paul Manafort secretly worked for a Russian billionaire with a plan to, quote, greatly benefit the Putin government. The story was released soon after FBI Director James Comey admitted during testimony to the House Intelligence Committee that his agency was investigating ties between Trump's cabinet members and the Russian government, and that the inquiry began 7 months ago. Comey also denied that the Obama administration was wiretapping Trump's residence, directly refuting the president. My guest is Rahul Mahajan. He's the author of two books on the Iraq War, Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond, as well as The New Crusade, America's War on Terrorism. He's also a PhD student in sociology at the University of Wisconsin, and he is the U.S. Foreign Policy and Empire correspondent for this program. Welcome back to the show, Rahul.
Great to be back, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about Comey's testimony before we get into this AP report. Of course, James Comey is a controversial figure in and of himself, given that the role, that he played in the U.S. election right before that election. Some people feel that he played a pretty serious role in undermining Hillary Clinton's chances. Now he remains as director of the FBI. But he is contradicting the president that has kept him in place there. What do you make of his congressional testimony overall? Should it surprise us that the U.S. government has been investigating Trump's ties to Russia for the past 7 months?
No, I don't think it's particularly surprising. It's nice to have it sort of verified in congressional testimony, but you know, you poured through that testimony. It's remarkably thin in terms of information. So yes, there's an ongoing investigation. There are a couple of conclusions that he sort of mentioned, like that Russia dealt indirectly with WikiLeaks, not directly. But for the most part, it's a series of statements about how he's not going to comment on any specifics until the investigation is done. So, I mean, we know there are a bunch of important people who've had in some cases longstanding connections to Trump, like Roger Stone, or in other cases, intense connections like Michael Flynn, who he named as National Security Advisor, who are under investigation, not just for contacts with the Russians, but in some cases, potentially actually coordination of action in order specifically to help the campaign.
I suppose we shouldn't be terribly surprised that the FBI, that Comey is not giving as much information. FBI investigations usually are super secret until the results are announced. In fact, is it surprising that he gave any information at all?
Well, you know, Comey has taken a sort of public role like few FBI directors since J. Edgar Hoover has, and it's largely, if you want to put the blame on any one person for that, it's Bill Clinton for cleverly deciding to meet with Loretta Lynch in an airplane while there was talk about investigating his wife. So because of that, she recused herself from talking about things that would normally be the job of the Attorney General, not the FBI director. And Comey, it seems fairly happily, filled the breach. And so this is just a continuation of the role he's taken since last summer.
Now, let's talk about the issue of exactly who is being investigated. Could you gather from his remarks who is being investigated? Because we basically keep hearing that it's Trump's cabinet members, people associated with them, people that he's hired, but not Trump himself directly?
I think that there's no inkling of direct investigations of Trump. So I think that, for example, Trump's business deals in Russia are not directly in the purview of the investigation. Of course, who knows? It's not as if we have very concrete information about that. Obviously, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has been a longtime candidate for potential investigation regarding his links with Russia. The problem is that as CEO of ExxonMobil is expected to have connections with countries like Russia. So disentangling what was legitimate and what wasn't may be difficult. And again, I don't know that there's any sense that he's really a primary target. For the rest, what I know of is mostly Trump campaign people rather than his cabinet. But, this thing may evolve.
Right. So the AP report then that came out more recently revealing, they basically got a hold of documents from 10 years ago that showed Trump's campaign, former campaign manager Paul Manafort had dealings with a Russian billionaire who would have been able to enrich or empower the Russian government. Now, for something that happened 10 years ago, is this really relevant? Is this something that we should be paying attention to?
Well, so I mean, I think we need to put all of this into a broader perspective in a couple of ways. So first of all, for every allegation like this, you can actually find very similar ones about Democrats. So what was known about Manafort well before, even during the whole campaign season, was that he had done election-related work for Viktor Yanukovych, who was the let's just call him the pro-Russian, repeatedly elected president of the Ukraine, repeatedly elected and repeatedly deposed by popular movements. And Manafort strategy was important in getting him elected after his first being deposed. So on the other hand, Tad Devine, who was Bernie Sanders' chief political strategist, also worked for Viktor Yanukovych. This is the kind of thing that high-level electoral operatives do, and they don't always do it with any clear preferences about the politics of the people that they work for. So it's natural that Manafort didn't just talk to pro-Russian politicians in Ukraine, but also to Russian tycoons, that he was planning to do spade work in the United States, sort of legitimize the Russian government. But, there was a meeting around the same time between Bill Clinton, Frank Justra, and Nursultan Nazarbayev of Kazakhstan, which involved Clinton talking about doing work to legitimate Kazakhstan, Justra getting mining rights in Kazakhstan, and the Clinton Foundation getting a large donation from Justra. So this kind of thing happens a lot. I'm not going to say that Bill Clinton's dealings are just business as usual either. I guess the difference is, of course, that Russia is a country that has very significant resources that it has rarely marshaled in the post-Cold War era, and some of those resources are not just about backing up the fact that it has nuclear missiles and a large army, but it's the sort of propaganda functions that usually were only carried out by the United States in other countries rather than vice versa.
So this is a really important context. There have been people on the progressive left who've said it's a slippery slope to go down this path of alleging that the Trump administration's sole goal is to somehow benefit Vladimir Putin, and the entire Trump presidency is somehow a Putin conspiracy, because, as you pointed out, you can find Democrats with similar dealings with various Russian contacts. And it also undermines the very real and present problems with the Trump administration that are far worse than and far more clearly identifiable than these Russian allegations. However, then on the other side, you've got people saying, well, there's so much smoke, there's got to be fire. And depending on the day, I fall into one camp or another. What do you think, Rahul?
Well, let's separate a couple of different issues here. So first of all, although, it's a long way until the results are in, I do tend to think that Putin and the Russian government deliberately meddled in the elections in order to help Trump. That doesn't mean they necessarily thought their meddling was going to get Trump to win the election, because, in the month before the election, nobody thought that Trump was going to win, not even Trump, apparently. But they did do that. And I mean, for me, the
But what do you mean by meddling, right?
Yeah, so the most striking evidence and the most interesting to me is the role played by organizations like Russia today. So they've for years been putting out various kinds of news and analysis of the sort that appeals to the left. So Russia Today has for years been putting out news and analysis that is very similar to that of parts of the left. They've had standard sort of American commentators from the left on their shows regularly. And over time, I've seen, that directly or indirectly, they've helped to mix in fake news and highly conspiratorial views of the world with, and in particular, even more anti-Clinton than warranted kind of reporting in the mix. And I think that I'm not just going to put it just on RT as an organization, but a complex of organizations has been putting out viral news that actually I think helped turn off parts of the radical left from, doing what many of them normally do, which is swallow their vomit and vote for the Democratic nominee. And I think fewer of them did this time. And there are a lot of reasons for it. I mean, this was a natural election in which people wanted outsiders and alternative party candidates and so on. But I think that Russia's meddling of the kind that, I mean, it's much weaker than the kind of meddling in the information environment that the United States has done regularly and has actual entire organizations devoted to, like the National Endowment for Democracy. On the other hand, you also have to look at the particular direction of the meddling. I mean, it's in Russia's case, they're in favor of Trump. They're in favor of Viktor Orban in Hungary. They're in favor of emerging far right and neo-fascist organizations around Europe. It's a real thing, and it's part of a new play to make Russia again, in some ways, a great power on the world stage. They're finally, waking up to the possibilities of soft power, and it's something to be worried about. It's interestingly not the thing that the investigation is focusing primarily on because of the fact that this sort of media stuff is, as I think it was Comey who said, protected First Amendment speech. But it is happening, and it's worth noting. And even though you might well say that it's just karma, what goes around comes around, it's still, you should see, it's not nice when it's happening to you. It's not nice when your elections are being meddled with in favor of terrible authoritarian and inept candidates, which is what the United States has often done in other countries and what I think Russia has been doing here as well. So separate that from the other questions, like, is Trump in the pocket of Putin? Do the Trump people's dealings with Russia go beyond the normal, which is when it's somebody like Bill Clinton or when it's like all these various electoral consultants, what dominates in their own considerations is their own venality and self-aggrandizement, not some sort of loyalty to the foreign powers they're working for. I've seen no indication, despite Trump's repeated expressions of man love for Vladimir Putin, that it goes beyond that, that Trump is loyal to Russia. No, he's just extremely venal and narcissistic and has decided it's clever to say good things about Putin.
He's
As far as
attracted to
I know.
leaders like himself, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Stalin had certain admiration for Hitler after the Night of the Long Knives, too. That didn't mean he was loyal to Germany.
So, in terms of the investigation by the FBI, can we trust its outcome? Can we trust the independence of such an investigation? Some have called for a special independent prosecutor to look into this. And all of this is happening at the same time that Trump is attacking very basic constitutional rights of ordinary Americans, carrying out, these attacks on healthcare, immigrants. You name it, the budget. His budget proposal is just cruel, and it seems as though, from the perspective of political activists, let the intelligence agencies deal with this aspect of it, and let them worry about whether or not there has been an undue interference from Russia. So, what are your thoughts on how much emphasis should be placed on this investigation and whether it can actually be an independent investigation?
In one way, I think it's useful as a litmus test of how much people, especially people in the Democratic Party establishment, are seriously rethinking about the need for change strategy in the aftermath of basically now 6 years of repeated defeat, politically speaking. And the ones who aren't ready to think very hard about it yet are the ones who are clinging to all this Russia stuff, sometimes making outlandish claims that have, as yet at least, no basis in fact, sometimes sticking more to the facts, but believing somehow that keeping, that hanging Russia on Trump over and over again is going to matter to his base, or to cut off some slice of voters who swung from Barack Obama towards Donald Trump. And I don't see any evidence that this actually has any political efficacy. For the rest, I think, yeah, I mean, I think that at the very least, wait until there are actual results that have been put out. I mean, some of people on the left are doing something else that's reflexively silly, which is constantly saying that these allegations are false. And there's no reason that I've seen to believe that they are false. It's also true that it's not wise to accept government reports just at face value and not scrutinize them, but it's also not wise to dismiss them completely, because they're usually often the only face of the only source of anything that can even purport to be authoritative facts about some of the mm-hmm. things they investigate. So you really have to figure out how to thread the needle and sort of read between the lines and against the grain. And one of the things you have to do in order to do that is to understand that there are times when there is a strong incentive to sort of substantiate claims that aren't strictly true, but helped to build support for, say, a war against Iraq. And there are other times when nobody has that incentive, like things that would tend to support, say, a war against Russia. All the people going nuts about the possibility that we're, you know, 2 minutes away from a nuclear exchange with Russia should really take a deep breath and understand that we have not yet seen any change in the 70-year U.S. policy of avoiding nuclear exchanges with Russia. There's no reason to believe that that's going to change in the near future, and there's no reason to believe that government reports would be slanted to make it seem like we should be more bellicose towards Russia than we are already being. So given all of that, I think that, we can expect that any report that comes out will have some things we can trust and other things that are right. probably require scrutiny.
Finally, on the issue of Trump's allegations that President Obama wiretapped him, that James Comey denied was happening, that seems to have been lost in all of this mess. However, when a U.S. president says such, you know, obviously on the surface ludicrous things that are then refuted by the FBI director, ordinarily that would be a huge story. But it seems as though our bar is set so low for Trump.
You know, I think the founding fathers would have called it a high misdemeanor. A clear lapse of the demeanor that we expect of the president. The very least you should avoid doing is levying ridiculously trumped up and false accusations against a former president. I mean, that's the minimum that's been expected throughout the history of the Republic. It's one thing to levy false accusations against radicals and revolutionaries, whether, you know, Sacco and Vanzetti or Fred Hampton or who name you, but to do it against people who have, you know, not just held power but been president before, it's a remarkable breach of any standards of decorum that have ever existed. And in a different situation, it might get people rumbling about withdrawing their support from the president and even talking about impeachment. Here, of course, with the Republican Party just completely diehard committed to an ideological lockstep, that's not even remotely in the cards.
Well, Rahul, I want to thank you, as always, for joining us and putting things into perspective. Appreciate your work.
Thanks for having me.
Rahul Mahajan is the author of two books on the Iraq War, Full Spectrum Dominance and The New Crusade. He's also a PhD student in sociology at University of Wisconsin, and he's the U.S. Foreign Policy and Empire correspondent for this program. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.